Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Salt Patrol, good morning. We're 10-8. Jess Romero and Anita Romero.
Tobias and Sarah, here to serve you.
Here every Friday, talking about spiritual warfare for the common man, for the common woman. Lot to talk about, Anita.
Absolutely, lots to talk about. We got some great news.
Yeah, let me share one.
Okay.
There's a friend of ours. We've met him. Father Billy. I forget his first name, but Father Billy or his last name. He's from the parish of St. Henry's in Buckeye, Arizona.
I believe his last name's Hunt. I think.
Father Billy Hunt. He's from parish of St. Henry's in Buckeye, Arizona. He gave a homily last Sunday that is outstanding.
It was riveting.
Yeah, it's going to go up there with one of the best 10 homilies given on the whole scamdemic, plandemic, rigged elections. I want to just give kudos to Father Billy because it's stuff like that inspires lay people when they hear a priest putting it on the line like that. So do yourself a favor. Go on YouTube and type in Father Billy Hunt, St. Henry's Buckeye, Arizona's homily. And again, it's going to just give you hope.
And, you know, I think those priests that put it out there, they really care for our souls. They are lovers, so they truly love all of us as their children because they're our father and we are their spiritual children. So they really love us by telling us the truth, even though the truth hurts. But thank you, Father Billy, for giving us that inspiring message, and encouraging message.
What are the good news items do we have to share with people
today? Yeah, we
have
a good news item. There was a 117-year-old. She just had her birthday.
Wow.
French nun, her name is Sister Andre. She celebrated her 117th birthday, and get this, she also survived COVID.
Wow.
And the main gist of this article is that she said she wasn't scared to die, and she was 117 years old. And think about it. She wasn't scared to die. Why? Because she said, because she's from this life to the next life, there's eternity, that she has hope and she will go into eternity. That's why she wasn't scared. She's blind, but she celebrated her 17th birthday and was not scared. She survived COVID.
Because she's in a state of grace.
Absolutely.
If you're in a right relationship with God in a state of grace, you're like her. You could be blind, 117. You're saying, COVID, cancer, leukemia, who cares?
Who cares?
I'm not afraid. I've got Jesus.
And she obviously, she's aware of Scripture. What does it say? 366 times in Scripture, it says, do not be afraid. How many of us are always scared? Oh, I'm going to die. See, people are just focusing on the flesh. Stop focusing on the flesh. Focus on your spirit. If your spirit is strong, it doesn't matter what your flesh goes. Remember, God has a time and date when you're going to die. Although, you know, during that time before, we want to take care of our bodies because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And we need to care for our bodies.
Yeah. Not to care for your body.
I mean, care for.
Yeah, is a sin, actually. It's a sin. It's under the, you look at the catechism, under the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill. It says that also implies that you have a moral responsibility to take care of your body, which means eating right, exercising, not using, you know, illicit drugs. Mm-hmm. Because like my wife said, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I think there's another good news item out there that you want to share.
Mother Mariam, she found a home in Salina, Kansas with Bishop Vinky. I think that's how you pronounce his name. He welcomed her into the Diocese of Salina, Kansas. Congratulations, Mother Mariam. We love to listen to you, my beloved.
Yeah, she's like another Mother Angelica. Rest in peace.
And she's a truth teller.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Her and Mother Angelica are going to have some long conversations when both of them get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
When they meet, they're going to have some really long conversations. And both of them have been, the modernists have been going after them for years. The modernists hate them because they're very motherly figures, very maternal, but they're just truth tellers.
Yeah, and their objective, their apostolate, is to help families, marriages and families. That's their objective, in their ministry, because all different orders or religious orders, they have an objective in their and their philosophy, and theirs is to help those marriages and families.
And that's why she speaks out so much against what's happening in the culture, LGBT, homosexual marriage, abortion, because these things attack the family.
Yep.
Well, we're going to continue on part two today, talking about why we as Catholics call the Blessed Virgin Mary, Virgin Most Powerful. But I got a cute little joke before we start.
Let me hear it.
Here it is. Okay. It's under my Mary jokes file. Okay. And of course, as Catholics, laughter is good medicine. So there was a sister, Deborah, and she finished the semester teaching all the children their basic prayers. She then asked Adrian if he knew the Our Father, and he said no. So Sister Deborah asked him, Adrian, do you know the Hail Mary? And he said no. So Sister Deborah asked him if he knew the asked Adrian if he knew the act of contrition, and he said no. So Sister Deborah asked him, well, what prayer do you know, young man? He said, oh, I know the Angelus. She goes, really? How does it go? He goes, it goes like this. Dong, 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 dong. He's at it 12 times. So what's the lesson? What's the moral of the story? In the Catholic Church, for many centuries, the churches would ring their bells in the tower at 12 noon. And this told all the Catholics in Europe, in the medieval Europe, that it was time to do the 12 noon Angelus. So it's kind of a cute little joke there. That's the only prayer that Adrian knew, dong, dong, 12 times, because he heard it every day at 12 noon.
Yeah, and for those of you that pray the Angelus, you're praying with the entire church at that time, 6, 12, and 6, three times a day. So if you set your phone at 6, 12, and 6, it'll remind you to say the Angelus. That's what I do. That's what Jesse and I do. It's important because the prayers are so powerful at that time, because you're praying with the entire church,
right.
All the monasteries and the religious
and the abbeys.
And it's
you're uniting your prayers. It's like this. Put it this way. If one person shoots an arrow into the air, all right, that arrow could hit something. But imagine if millions of people are shooting arrows into the air. OK, you're going to knock a quail down or you're going to probably
the demons down.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this is a spiritual warfare show,
exactly.
Right? So that's what our aim is, to pray three times a day minimum as Catholics.
Yeah. So again, so when you the 6, 12, and 6 time of prayer, and also 3 p.m. now because of the Divine Mercy.
The Divine Mercy.
You're jumping into a stream like the Niagara Falls of prayer, and more people are praying at that time, so it makes your prayers more powerful.
Yes.
All right. So let's, as Catholics, Terry and myself, when we started this radio network, Virgin Most Powerful, we were deciding upon a name. And I told him, I said, many exorcists say that the name Virgin Most Powerful is one of the most feared names of Our Lady when it comes to driving demons out. And so Terry and myself said, well, let's call this little network Virgin Most Powerful Internet Radio. And so we've been around, I think we're going on year number 3, thanks be to God and thanks to Our Lady. Who's obviously supporting these endeavors.
Thank you for intercession. Intercession, absolutely.
So we want to continue talking about the reason Mary is called Virgin Most Powerful.
Yeah.
And let's get into the scapula right now.
Yeah, the scapula, which is one of the strength of Marian and Catholic devotion. That's the brown scapula of the Carmelite order has become a very important symbol of devotion to Mary. Yet the scapular is also a symbol of spiritual warfare. It is a uniform of the legions of spiritual warriors who fight under the banner of Mary. The following is an excerpt from a novena to Our Lady of Mount Carmel. That's where the lady appeared and gave us the brown scapular. It says, how strange it seems to think of Mary as a warrior. The gentle maid of Nazareth, the virginal mother, the mother of Prince of Peace, is still called, and properly called, more terrible than any than army in battle array. And so she is, Mary, conqueror of heresies, Mary, triumphant always in the battle with sin. When, then, we put on the scapular, which is Mary's uniform, we join in a special way the regiment of which Mary is the queen and honorary colonel. We pledge ourselves to do battle against the enemy of the human race. We will be victorious as Mary is victorious, and conquering as Christ is conquering.
There's a picture underneath on the internet. If you could describe it, it's very graphic, which shows the power of Mary over Satan.
Absolutely. It's Our Lady Guadalupe, and there's angels surrounding Our Lady, you know, with the rays, the yellow, the bright rays behind her. And then at the bottom, she's crushing the serpent with seven heads. I believe it is. The seven-headed dragon.
It looks like one of those, what are the big snakes called? Pythons? It looks like a python. I mean, those huge snakes.
It's just very graphic. It's like, whoa. Because, you know, most of the pictures that we see of Our Lady Guadalupe, it's cut right below the angel that's under Our Lady carrying her, actually suspending Our Lady, right?
Yeah.
So just below it, that's when you see the picture of the seven-headed dragon of the apocalypse in Revelation 12.
Yeah, this is a very graphic picture. We'll try to put it on the website today, Anita.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Put it on the blog.
Speaking of Our Lady Guadalupe, here she is.
Our protector.
Thank you, Mother. We love you. La Morenita. We love you. Pray for us.
Your beauty and your grace are the bright little dawn. Our Lady of Guadalupe. For us, so tenderly you hold us in your arms, babe. Your beauty and your grace are the bright little dawn. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your arms.
Pray for us, Our Lady Guadalupe. Did you know that in Northern Italy, about 200 years ago, St. John Bosco promoted devotion to Mary under the title Help of Christians, which in Latin is pronounced Auxilium Christianorum. In fact, there's some prayers that are in my book written by Father Ripperger. They're in obviously his book, Deliverance Prayers for the Lady. They're on the internet that we should be praying as Catholics every single night.
Absolutely.
The Auxilium Christianorum prayers.
Mm-hmm.
But St. John Bosco, I mean, and that's a title from the Litany of Loreto. His own prayer, St. John Bosco's own prayer to her, expresses the power and authority of the Mother of God under this title. Look at this prayer that he composed. It goes like this, quote, Mary, most powerful virgin, you are the mighty and glorious protector of the church. You are the marvelous help of Christians. You are inspiring as an army in battle array. You have destroyed heresy in the world. In the midst of our anguish, our struggles, and our distress, defend us from the power of the enemy. And at the hour of our death, receive our soul into heaven. Amen. Note all the references, to powerful Marian titles mentioned above. You have most powerful virgin. You have awe-inspiring as an army, and you have also destroyer of heresies. And then what does St. John, St. Alphonsus say about this? Does he make a comment about this?
Yes, St. Alphonsus says...
Ligori.
He says, St. John Damascene...
So he's quoting another father.
Quoting another father called Mary, quote, the prepared and always ready help of Christians by which they are delivered from dangers, end quote. The help of Mary is, as St. Cosmas of Jerusalem writes, quote, all-powerful to deliver us from sin and hell. St. Bernard, addressing Mary, says, thou art an invincible warrior in defense of thy servants, fighting against the devils who assail them. Wow.
Again, so St. Alphonsus de Liguori is, you know, taking all these saints. And he's commenting on why they call Our Lady, I mean, help of Christians, Auxilium Christianorum.
Well,
let's go into what makes the rosary such a powerful weapon against Satan. I'll give a quick narrative, then my wife will get into the Our Fathers and some of the prayers. But the short answer is, remember that according to sacred tradition, Lucifer was told about the incarnation, that God would become a man before the creation of the world. that God would become a man in the womb of a virgin. This was totally unacceptable to this proud seraphic angel. And so he shouted. His response was, non serviam, I will not serve. Well, let me, now I'm going to add my comment here. I'll finish his proud, envious thoughts and sentence. Lucifer was actually saying is, I will not serve the God-man, Jesus Christ, nor will I honor his mother. That's what he meant by non serviam. If God becomes a man, the God-man, I'm not going to serve the God-man. Because human beings are of a lower species, and I'm not going to honor the mother that gave birth to the God-man. So the incarnation, God becoming man, is what separates Christianity from any other religion. In fact, the incarnation separates Jesus Christ from any other human being. St. Thomas of Aquinas, the angelic doctor, he spilled a lot of ink defending and explaining the incarnation of the Son of God in the Summa Theologica. And so this is why the devil fears the recitation of the rosary.
And I want to mention one thing. We've mentioned it before, but remember, the devil is a nemesis of Mary. And even though he did not, if he wouldn't have said, I would not serve, if he went along with it, Mary would still be, it would have still, the Mary would be higher than any angel when she came to heaven and through the incarnation. So there at that point, it wouldn't have mattered. But he decided to give an irrevocable decision and not to serve. And that's what I think a lot of people are doing now. Many politicians and Catholics that are not practicing their faith, they're saying, I will not serve.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're saying, I will not serve.
Hopefully for them, it's not irrevocable. Hopefully they get the confession before they die.
That's the difference between the angels, the
humans
demons.
And angels. Mm-hmm. Yeah, theirs is irrevocable.
Theirs is irrevocable. Ours isn't.
Yeah. So this is why as Catholics, this is why the rosary is our go-to remedy, because what you're doing 53 times, you're reciting the words that announce the greatest and most powerful act in history, God becoming man. So when you say the first part of the Hail Mary, we enter into that mystery and we recite the same words with the same Holy Spirit in us that was in Mary. And then we ask and invite God to continue to do his greatest work through the same words said in here and now. And this is why the family rosary is the most important daily devotion you can incorporate if only one had to be chosen. And many saints have said that. Yeah. Let's get into Anita, the Our Father a little bit.
Yeah, thank you to Father Patrick Payton, who's actually encouraged it. The family that stays together, the family that prays together stays together. So we always got to remember that. Okay, secondly, the Our Father is an exorcism prayer. We pray, deliver us from evil at the end of the prayer. Many Greek manuscripts say, deliver us from the evil one. That's what I say. The Catechism in paragraph 2851 says, in this petition, evil is not an abstraction, but refers to a person, Satan, the evil one, the angel who opposes God. God prepares us to resist and fight the devil by giving us, quote, this day our daily bread, end quote. The word daily is in Greek epiousios. That's how that's pronounced. So that's the Greek word for daily bread, epiousios. And taken literally, epiousios means super essential. It refers directly to the bread of life, the body of Christ, the medicine of immortality. You know,
that's right in the catechism, by the way. So we're not making this off of our head. Mm-hmm. Where's it at in the catechism?
Yeah, in the catechism, it's Catechism paragraph 2837.
So you can look it up
and it's right there. And
what we're saying is right there.
Right, right. And you know, I had a conversation with a person that called yesterday, and she was really having a problem with, you know, with our bishops, our popes, and she believed there's no bishop, pope, and asked, are you going to church? No, I'm not going. I said, you know, you're depriving yourself of the Eucharist. It doesn't matter. We're there for Jesus. We're not going to be able, we could only pray for their conversion. You got to do your part. That's how we can do it. So whether it got through her or not, but
And if you're receiving, if you're not receiving the sacraments and praying for our clergy, then you're not in the battle.
You're not in the battle.
You're not in the team. Just a big complainer.
Right, right.
Let me talk a little bit about St. John Chrysostom, 4th century church father, doctor of the church. He says that when we receive Holy Communion, the devil is looking at you, okay? He sees you. And what does he see at that moment? He sees us like a lion breathing fire.
Wow. That's intense.
Yeah, St. John Chrysostom says that at that moment, you look terrifying to the devil when you have the Eucharist in your mouth. And St. Cyril of Alexandria says when we receive Holy Communion, it subverts the power of the devil and puts demons to flight. Of course, let me just throw the caveat there. If you're in a state of grace, if you're receiving Holy Communion in a state of mortal sin, for example, like Catholic, like most Catholic politicians that are pro-abortion, pro-homosexual marriage, receiving Holy Communion.
Well, we know who they are.
Yeah. What they're attractive to demons.
Yeah.
That in fact the Bible actually says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 26 to 31 that they're eating and drinking their own condemnation. They're preparing their way to hell every Eucharist. The Eucharist is going to bring them to hell because they're bringing in something holy, the body and blood of Christ, into a temple that's desecrated and polluted with mortal sin.
Wow, that is very scary for them. I know deep down inside they know what they're doing is wrong, but they continue to do it. I think it's
pride.
They're like Pharaoh.
It's pride.
Okay,
it's the sin of Satan, the sin of pride. Mm-hmm, St. Thomas of Aquinas and Father Suarez, the great Jesuit back in the Middle Ages, a great scripture scholar, both of them said that Satan's sin was ultimately the sin of pride, and that's what we see in many Catholic politicians.
Yeah, that's why we need to really pray for humility and even for ourselves,
ourselves.
Although we are followers of Christ and we're living in a state of grace and we do our best every day, because every day we have to make that decision. Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Jesus, I love you. It's a daily decision. Just like Jesse and I, when we
act of the will.
Yeah, act of the will. We were going to get married. We went through the engagement retreat. And that was the one thing that stuck out to me. It's a daily decision. Make a daily decision to say, I love you. And that's what it is every day. We have to wake up and say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I'm going to follow you.
That's right. So talk a little bit about the sign of the cross, Anita, in relation to the rosary.
Okay. So remember, the sign of the cross at the start and at the end of the rosary, Saint Benedict, who lived in the 5th century and founded monasteries across Europe as fortresses of prayer, fought against demons as well as against evil influences. As the first exorcist in history, he used to drive out demons and perform miracles with the sign of the cross.
Pretty simple.
Simple. And you know what since I've learned that, how important the sign of the cross is, once I get up, I open my eyes, I make the sign of the cross.
Demons to flight.
Right. And then
That's
I get up. And I start my day because I need to start my day covered with the precious blood of Jesus.
That's right.
And through the sign of the cross, that's what. So start your rosary.
When you start your rosary,
So when you start your rosary, set a time for your family rosary. If you do it together, it's more powerful. You do it as a family.
Yes.
If you can't, then, you do it individually. And ask Our Lady to bring about the conversion of your family and protection from demons. That's very important. You start with, your family. Pray for your family. Pray for their continued conversion.
That's right.
Because we can't say, they're converted. They're okay. We don't have to pray for them. No, we have to pray for
and
our continued
And that's one of the
conversion.
Promises in the 15 promises, that if you pray the rosary every single day, that she will bring the graces of conversion to your family members.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's so beautiful. So no one can live continually in sin and continue to say the rosary. Either they'll give up sin or they will give up the rosary. That's from Bishop Hugh Doyle.
And he also took that from St. Louis de Montfort.
Yep.
So here's the point. Like, if somebody has a pornography problem and somebody starts praying the rosary every day, here's what St. Louis de Montfort says, Bishop Hugh Doyle. Okay, you're doing both every day. You're going to give up one because you can't do both in the same day, that vice and virtue, because Our Lady won't allow it. So either you're going to give up the pornography and just embrace the daily rosary, or you're going to get rid of the rosary because it's too painful and you're going to continue to pray. And you can't do both at the same time.
Right. You can't do both.
No.
But here comes Our Lady. Pray. Pray for
Mediatrix
us.
Of all graces.
Yes. We love you, Mary.
Pray for us, Ora Ponovis. Pray for this country. Our Lady of the Americas, pray for us.
Pray for us.
La Morenita, ruega por nosotros, pray for us. Here's something that Cardinal Norberto Rivera Carrera, long name, from Mexico City, I believe he's retired now, so he's a cardinal emeritus in Mexico City. Here's what he said about Mary. He says, and he would know, I mean, Mexico is steeped in the occult with brujería, Santa Muerte, Santería. So Mexico's been attacked ferociously by Satan. Here's what this Cardinal Emeritus says. He says, Satan hates the Mother of God and flees from her presence. It is for this reason that the saints and the church have often suggested to us to make a consecration to Mary each day, or at least once a year. Regarding the pivotal role of Mary in the battle against Satan, Cardinal Rivera Carrera states, quote, she, Mary, brings us to Jesus. She protects us and cares for us in this difficult ministry. Mary also participates in exorcisms. Mm-hmm. She herself is an exorcist and expels the devil through her sanctity, close quote. Mom. This is why it's important when you start off in the morning, when you get up and you make the sign of the cross, start causing the devils to flee your presence. It's important to add some type of Marian consecration prayer in the morning, because, again, you're basically putting it out there. You're letting all the demons around say, guess what? I belong to this woman. I belong to this Queen Mother whom you all fear. As soon as you make you put that flag on the ground, they flee. They said, okay, there he goes again. Consecrated himself to Mary. Let's go. Let's go next door, because those people don't consecrate themselves to Mary.
Yeah. And let's, there's a beautiful prayer.
Yeah, let's pray the way we pray every morning. Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Queen, my Mother, I give myself entirely to you.
To show my devotion to you, I consecrate to you this day my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my whole being without reserve. Wherefore, most loving Mother, as I am your own, keep me, defend me as your property and possession. Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Quick Marian consecration. That's in my book, Lord, Prepare My Hands for Battle, in my morning prayers. What you're doing is you're letting the devil know, get lost. I just woke up right now. Guess what? I'm giving myself to the Queen Mother, the woman you fear. I belong to her. I'm going to wrap myself in her arms today. Get lost. Beat it. Scram, dude. Yeah, you don't belong here.
Yeah, she's holding me in the mantle of her protection.
Yep. So let's talk a little bit, Anita, about a little bit more about the theology of Mary and her power over the diabolical.
Right, yeah, let's talk about Father Gabriel Amorth, one of our favorite exorcists.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, the chief exorcist of the Vatican. He's been deceased for already almost 6 years, I believe. He says, one day a colleague of mine heard the devil saying during an exorcism, every Hail Mary is like a blow on my head. If Christians knew how powerful the rosary was, it would be my end. See, just think about if everybody prayed the rosary every day. Think about all the blows, how we would just, it's like the whack-a-mole.
Those whack-a-moles at a carnival.
Carnival. That's what it's like. Hitting.
We would drive these demons out. I mean, completely out of this country, out of this world, and back into hell if Catholics would get on board with praying the daily rosary. Because again, what are you doing? You keep repeating over and over the incarnation. This is what the devil fears. Saying, oh, this is the plan of God to save the world, the incarnation. Oh, there they go. And Holy Mary, Mother of God. Oh, there they go again. Yeah. Holy Mary, Mother of God. That's what got him kicked out of heaven, because he rejected the incarnation, God's plan.
I will not serve. That was his.
And the incarnation is the battle plan of God to save the human race. So you're repeating it over and mm-hmm. over again.
Yep.
He's like, oh, stop it, stop it. It gives him a more than a migraine headache. It yep. gives him a cosmic headache.
Yeah, like your fingernails scratching on a chalkboard.
Yeah,
that's
in front of
exact...
a bunch of kindergarten kids.
Yes. The secret that makes this prayer so effective is that the rosary is both prayer and meditation. It is addressed to the Father, to the Blessed Virgin, to the Holy Trinity, and is a meditation centered on Christ. Anyone who goes to Mary and prays the rosary cannot be touched by Satan. Just remember,
and that's
when
said by Father Gabriel Lamorth as well. Read that last sentence.
Anyone who goes to Mary and prays the rosary cannot be touched by Satan. That's
and that's from wow. who? From Father Gabriel.
Father Gabriel Amorth. Father Gabriel Amorth. He, and then he continues with Jesus consigns this key, which represents his divine power, into my hand, because as his mother, mediatrix between you and my son, there is entrusted to me the task of conquering Satan and his powerful army of evil. It is with this key that I am able to open and shut the door to the abyss.
And that's another prophecy made to, I think it was made to Father Gobi in the Marian movement of priests.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The chain to which, with which the great dragon is to be bound is made up of prayer made with me and by means of me. This prayer is that of the Holy Rosary. A chain has the function of first limiting action, then of imprisoning, and finally, of making ineffective every activity of one who has been bound by it. So here, in Father Golby, a Catholic priest, rest in peace, he's passed away. He talks about the rosary like a chain that mm-hmm. binds the devil. That's why we talk about binding prayers. It binds the devil. It ties him up. But it also functions. So it limits his activity. But it also also is a weapon. St. Padre Pio calls it a weapon because mm-hmm. it inflicts damage upon
yeah.
him.
Yeah, it is the weapon.
The weapon.
It is
not
weapon.
A weapon. Not a weapon.
A weapon. It is the yeah. weapon outside of Mass.
Anita, I want you to get into the fact that a lot of people when they're dying, and mm-hmm. people don't realize that this is Catholic teaching, that people when they're dying will be attacked by demons.
Yes.
And this is why it's important for people to be praying for them and to have them pray for themselves as well as they're dying with a rosary in their hand. That's the best thing that I would recommend.
It is. I think that that's the most important part, time of your life is the time of death.
Yeah.
Where will you go?
That's
it. At the time when your breath, you take your last breath.
And your heart stops.
And your heart stops.
Where are you going to go?
You got
to
ask that question every day.
I'll be honest with you. Larry Flint died yesterday or two days ago.
Yeah.
He's the one that founded Hustler.
Yes.
I read some articles on him. He lived a horrible life.
Yes.
Horrible.
He didn't look.
The things that he did for this world were horrible.
Yes.
And again, everybody is visited by demons as they're dying. This is why as Catholics, we got to prepare for that moment.
Yeah.
What does the church
teach? Yeah,
the
Catechism of the Council of Trent, it teaches that at no time is the devil's attack more intense than at the moment of our approaching death.
And that's the early catechism back written in the 16th century.
Wow. In short, then the devils attack us at the moment of death most fiercely at our most vulnerable point. Just as a skillful general will storm a fortress on the side where he perceives the walls to be the weakest. As the catechism instructs, each man receives his internal retribution in his immortal soul at the very moment of his death. In particular, judgment that refers his life to Christ. Either entrance immediately into the blessedness of heaven or entrance through a purification in purgatory.
That's most people.
Most people.
That die in state of grace.
Right. Or immediate and everlasting damnation. That's hell. Okay.
That's most people according to our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll go there.
That's scary. Nevertheless, if we have lived a good life, we have no fear. And I want to preface it. We have lived a holy life.
Right.
Good is, we're good people by nature. We can be, but We have to strive for more, holiness. And that's called holiness.
Yes, yes.
We have nothing to fear. For the church, as we can learn from the funeral liturgy, holds out for us the hope of the presence of Mary, the angels, and all the saints at this most decisive moment of our lives. Wow. Yeah. So
that's part of the prayer of the church.
Yep. So we...
Mary's there.
Yep.
You're Mary's dying. There, Mary's there. There. Angels are there. Saints are there.
You know, and
but you got to call upon them.
Yeah, because prayer is habitual. If you're going to do it in this lifetime, it's going to come easy at the point of your death. You're going to be able to say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, we love you, save souls. We're going to be, it's going to be just natural,
flow out of
come
your mouth.
Out natural. Oh,
into
I'm,
your hands I yeah. command my spirit.
And while you're doing that, all the demons are Mary and Jesus and St. Joseph are coming, and they're just
driving them away.
Get out of the way. Get out of the way.
You don't belong here. Get out of the room.
Get out of the way. Kick you out.
Now, if you're not praying, if you're in mortal sin, the demon is the room is full of demons.
It's horrifying. It's people, I can imagine.
Well, we've known a lot of people
tell
us when they're dying and stuff or near-death experiences, and they said the room is full of demons, and
yes.
that's why they changed their life.
Yeah,
because they saw them. Mm-hmm. They're there. They're all over.
Yeah.
St. Alphonsus of Liguori, he gives another meditation. He says, so it is with Christians who face death. The devil will come to tempt them, but their guardian angels will come to strengthen them. Their patron saints and protectors will come also, as well as St. Michael the Archangel, whom God has appointed as the defender of his faithful servants at the time of their death. The Blessed Virgin Mary will also come to protect her children who so often prayed to her for help now and at the hour of our death. St. Alphonsus, Doctor of the Church.
Yeah.
Again, this is Catholic teaching.
Right.
Catechism of the Council of Trent. St. Alphonsus of Liguori. Mary and the angels and saints will come, but you must call them at the moment that you're dying.
You know, word to the wise, we're always getting all this wonderful information from the saints. I mean, they're saints. Don't you think they're telling the truth?
Of course they are.
We need to just and talk to our family members that are not praying. Oh, praying. We need to get them back in the church and string them along so they can.
We want the salvation.
We live in a state of grace.
We want the salvation of their soul.
Yeah.
We don't want anybody to go to hell.
No, we don't.
Here she comes. Pray for our unconverted family members. Ora pro nobis.
La Morenita. Yeah, we can do it.
Okay. Bright little dawn. Yeah. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your arms. Ora pro nobis, ruega por nosotros, pray for us. We got some good comments on the chat, Anita.
Yeah, we did. There was a comment. I want to single her out, Pauline Reina. She said, I loved her comment. How do you feel when, I love all of your comments, but
yes.
This one just kind of, you know, just
jumped out
at me. How do you feel when during a funeral, the person speaking says they are no longer suffering? What? That was really good. Yeah, you're right. What are they suffering? Are they suffering?
They're no longer suffering earthly suffering like cancer or
right,
something.
Right.
But now there's two sufferings in the afterlife.
Right.
They're
right.
Spiritual because you have no body.
Right.
It's hell suffering forever or purgatory or purgatory suffering, which is temporary.
Yep.
So the suffering will continue for the soul, not for the body in one way or another. Now, very few people go straight to heaven. Like St. Stephen the Martyr, Acts chapter 7, he was killed by the Pharisees. They stoned him to death.
Right.
And it says, Lord, receive my spirit. He died for Jesus. If you die for Jesus, you go straight to heaven. But the rest of us will go through some type of purgation.
Purgation, yeah, purging.
Because we didn't die perfect.
Yep. And we know if we lived in a state of grace, it will be in purgatory. But there is going to be some suffering, some longing for Christ to be with him. That's the suffering.
Purgatory is basically, you're on your way to heaven. You're saved. You're going to heaven. But God has to make you perfect.
Right.
Like you're saying,
no
okay, okay, I've been doing 50 push-ups. No, you got to do 1,000 push-ups. What? I've been running like 3 miles a day. No, you got to run 20 miles a day. What? Purgatory is a time where God is going to make your soul perfect so that you can be in heaven. not with any defects, any vices, or any blemishes. Anita, right. I want to just give the audience just a little bit of the story about Our Lady of the Americas.
Lady of Americas, yes.
Yeah,
something that we need. We need Our Lady of the America.
Here's pray for us.
Pray for us. We need your intercession.
This is an apparition, a private apparition that many of the United States Catholic bishops, they've already recognized this. There's many bishops mm-hmm. that have recognized it and approved it locally. So the Our Lady of the Americas includes the apparitions of our Lord, as well as Saint Joseph, mm-hmm. As well as Saint Gabriel and Saint Michael, as well as apparitions of the Blessed Mother. And she called herself Our Lady of America to Sister Mary Ephraim of the Precious Blood Sisters. She died in 1979, but these apparitions were, I think, in the 50s.
No, she died January 10th.
January 10th, 2000. Last year. 2000.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think... Yeah, that's where she was.
That's when she was. This is probably when
her order.
The order was started. Right. Well, we'll see. So the Blessed Virgin Mary wishes to be honored in the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception at Washington D.C. as Our Lady of America, and Our Lady says that if this is done, the United States of America would turn back towards morality, and the shrine would become a place of wonders. We know that right now that Washington's a cesspool of immorality. She wants Washington
no
to become a place of wonders.
Yeah, that's a ground zero for immorality. It really is. Just think of all the people that go there, politicians and just people that are not that are in the political realm, but they're not the ones that are in the seats of
right
the political,
lobbyists. Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot.
They're bringing in the culture of death to Washington, which is exported throughout the United States and throughout the world. So the auxiliary bishop of Cincinnati, Monsignor Bishop Paul Leibold, he formally approved the design for the Our Lady of America medal. This was directed by the Archdiocese of Cincinnati to pay for the medals of Our Lady of America, which he had ordered, and approved the medal maker and approved this devotion. There's also a leaflet explaining the devotion to Our Lady of America that was printed at the expense of the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. Remember, an apparition is worthy of belief if a bishop says so. It doesn't go to the Pope. It doesn't go to the Vatican. Local bishops are successors of the apostles. An apparition is worthy of pious belief if the bishop declares it so.
Yes.
And this bishop, a successor of the apostle, has already done that. Here's one of the revelations of the Blessed Mother to this nun, who, again, she died January 10th, Sister Mary Ephraim, January 10th, 2000, at the age of 83. Our Lady,
she lived a full life.
Our Lady says, "I am Our Lady of America. I desire that my children honor me, especially by the purity of their lives," close quote. And at times, light twinkled from Mary's hair, according to Sister Mary Ephraim, and it seemed to radiate from her. Again, this apparition has been approved by Archbishop Leibold. So here's the long and the short of it. It was on the eve of the Feast of the North American Martyrs, the great Jesuits that died bringing the gospel to the indigenous Indians out here, September 25th, 1956, that Our Lady appeared to Sister Mary Ephraim, a full-habited nun. Monsignor Leibold, later the Archbishop of the Cincinnati, Ohio Archdiocese, would be her spiritual director for many years until 1972, when she suddenly died to an aneurysm.
When he did.
Monsignor Leibold.
Yeah.
Thank you. Archbishop Leibold had become so convinced of the authenticity of this message that he approved Sister's writings and placed his imprimatur on the design of the medals. Anita, can you pick it up there?
Yeah, I'll pick it up. Okay. Our Lady promised that greater miracles than those granted at a Lourdes and Fatima would be granted here in America, the United States in particular, if we do as she desires. Sister Mary Ephraim stated that Our Lady called herself Our Lady of America in response to the love and desire that reached out for this special title in the hearts of her children in America.
So, what's the message that she repeated?
Yeah, she said, it is the United States that is to lead the world to peace. Mm. The peace of Christ, the peace that he brought with him from heaven. She also said, quoted the Virgin saying, dear children, unless the United States accepts and carries out faithfully the mandate, okay, not a choice, the mandate given to it by heaven to lead the world to peace, there will come upon it and all nations a great havoc of war and incredible suffering. Hmm. If, however, the United States is faithful to this mandate from heaven and yet fails in the pursuit of peace because of the rest of the world will not accept or cooperate, then the United States will not be burdened with the punishment about to fall. Well, I think we're experiencing some of that punishment.
Yes.
You know, we're getting, conservatives are being censored.
Patriots, conservatives, and people of faith.
There's deception. There's lies coming out of Washington. Just a lot of evil coming out of Washington. And that's where the ground zero is for impurity, immorality.
That's right. And here's also what she says. The Blessed Mother says, weep then, dear children. Weep with your mother over the sins of men. Intercede with me before the throne of mercy, for sin is overwhelming the world and punishment is not far away. Mary says, it is the darkest hour, but if men will come to me, my immaculate heart will make it bright again with the mercy which my son will rain down through my hands. Wow, that's a beautiful promise.
Yeah.
The mercy which my son will rain down through my hands. We all have to become soldiers of Mary, Marian devotees. She says, help me save those who will not save themselves. Help me bring once again the sunshine of God's peace upon the world. And here's a longer message from Our Lady.
Yeah.
She says, if my desires are not fulfilled, much suffering will come to this land, my faithful one. If my warnings are taken seriously, and enough of my children strive constantly and faithfully to renew and reform themselves in their inward and outward lives, then there will be no nuclear war. What happens to the world depends upon those who live in it. There must be much more good than evil prevailing in order to prevent the Holocaust that is so near approaching. Yet I tell you, my daughter, even should such a destruction happen, because there were not enough souls who took my warning seriously, there will remain a remnant, untouched by the chaos, who have been faithful in following me and spreading my warnings, and will gradually inhabit the earth again with their dedicated and holy lives. This is all apocalyptic stuff.
Right, and I was, you know, she said the Holocaust. Well, I think we're experiencing the Holocaust with all these people that are dying of the vaccine.
And also the Holocaust of abortion.
Of abortion, absolutely.
Been going on since 1973.
Yeah, so we're digging ourselves into the hole. But we need to ask for the intercession of Our Lady of the Americas. I think, you know, none of us, but there's probably many people that don't know about her, about this apparition. So according to Sister Mary Ephron, Our Lady often emphasized her desire that the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. be made a place of special pilgrimage and that she be honored there under this image and this title, Our Lady of America, the Immaculate Virgin. I think I want to go there just for that, not because.
Exactly.
Not
here's some more strong warnings. Here's some more strong warnings that were repeated by Our Lady.
Okay.
She says, "Unless my children reform their lives, sounds like the New Testament, they will suffer great persecution. If man himself will not take upon himself the penance necessary to atone for his sins and those of others, God in His justice will have to send upon him the punishment necessary to atone for his transgressions." This is what we're called to do, make penance for others and be a conduit of grace for others. And what did she see, Anita, finally in 1957?
Yeah, she said in 1957, the Blessed Virgin Mary said, "What am I to do, child of my heart, when my children turn from me? The false peace of this world lures them and in the end will destroy them. They think they have done enough in consecrating themselves to my Immaculate Heart. It is not enough. That which I ask for and is most important, many have not given me. What I ask, have asked, and will continue to ask is reformation of life, There must be sanctification from within. Mm. I will work my miracles of grace only in those who ask for them and empty their souls of the love and attachment to sin and all that is displeasing to my Son. Souls who cling to sin cannot have their hands free to receive the treasures of grace that I hold out to them. Oh my gosh, we're...
Our Lady of the Americas, pray for us. If you want to read this article, go to OurLadyOfAmerica.org, OurLadyOfAmerica.org,
and
you can read.
Spending time in prayer.
Yes.
In front of the Blessed
Sacrament.
This gives
me a lot of hope, by the way.
Absolutely, it does.
You've been listening to Jesus 9-1. This is the Friday show where we talk about practical, functional, spiritual warfare for couples, for the family. Stay tuned to Gary Machuda, Hands-On Apologetics for the Midwest Command Center. Well,
have a blessed weekend.
Yep, that's a wrap.
We love you, chatterboxes.
Yep. First responders, we're signing out. We're 10-7. We're out. God bless you. Viva Cristo Rey.
Viva.